ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So reading from Canto number 2, chapters number 9. The chapter is entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, text number 23.
Padyadistam maya tantraha twai kama vimohite tapo me vriddayam shaksar atmaham tapas san aga.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are non-different. Please repeat, O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are non-different. Purport. The penance by which one can see this personality of Godhead face to face is to be understood as devotional service to the Lord and nothing else, because only by discharging devotional service and transcendental love can one approach the Lord. Such penance is the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is non-different from Him. Such acts of internal penance are exhibited by non-attachment for material enjoyment. The living entities are encaged in the conditions of material bondage because of their propensity to overlordship. But by engagement in devotional service of the Lord, one becomes detached from this enjoying spirit. Devotees automatically become detached from worldly enjoyment, and this detachment is the result of perfect knowledge. Therefore, the penance of devotional service includes the knowledge and detachment, and that is the manifestation of the transcendental potency. One cannot enjoy material illusory propensity if he desires to return home back to Godhead. One who has no information of the transcendental bliss in the association of the Lord foolishly desires to enjoy this temporary material happiness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that if someone sincerely wants to see the Lord and at the same time wants to enjoy this material world, he is considered to be a fool only. One who wants to remain here in the material world for material enjoyment has no business entering into the internal kingdom of God. The Lord favors such a foolish devotee by snatching all that he may possess in the material world. If such a foolish devotee of the Lord tries to recoup his position, then the merciful Lord again snatches away all that he may possess. How do you well? You can't win. Krishna is in control. By such repeated failures in material prosperity, he becomes very unpopular with his family members and friends. In the material world, the family members and friends honor persons who are very much successful in accumulating wealth by any means. The foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance by the grace of the Lord. At the end, the devotee becomes perfectly happy being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, penance and devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary submission or by being forced by the Lord, is necessary for attaining perfection. And thus, such penance is the internal potency of the Lord. One cannot, however, be engaged in the penance of devotional service without being completely freed from all sins. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only a person who is completely free from all reactions of sin can engage himself in the worship of the Lord. Brahmaji was sinless, and therefore he faithfully discharged the advice of the Lord. Tapa, tapa. and the Lord, being satisfied with him, awarded him the desired result. Therefore, only love and penance combined can please the Lord, and thus one is able to attain his complete mercy. He directs the sinless, and the sinless devotee attains the highest perfection of life. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Kinajina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasma. There are two contaminations that are very prominent in the execution of spiritual life. The desire to be God by practicing spiritual life. In other words, one practices spiritual life in order to become the supreme enjoyer, somewhat known as the Mayavadi philosophy. People take to spiritual life in order to somehow or other become powerful through spiritual practice, and then somehow or other disregard the process once they reach a certain level of spiritual attainment, and then they want to be God or enjoy like God, or say that God doesn't exist, or God is an energy simply, and spiritual life is to help you become the controller of the material energy. So you can enjoy better. See, many yogis come from India. What do? They take up all these penances and austerities, and then they engage in sense gratification in the Western world. Enjoy better forms of sense gratification. And the other contamination, which is quite common, is to approach the Lord for material benedictions, to make me better in my material life. Aham Devi, Rupam Devi, Yaso Devi, Janam Devi, Danam Devi, Dehi. Asking the Lord for material benedictions in order to become happy in this material world. Here, in this purport, you see that one must perform penance. Penance is actually, Krishna says, actually, that penance, that austerity, that's me. It's non-different than me. Krishna actually explains that austerity and penance is non-different to him. He says austerity is the wealth of those who are in the Brahminical order, of those who are actually saintly by nature. They derive great pleasure and become, what we say, satisfied in their spiritual practice by performing austerity. Sometimes people don't like that word austerity, because it seems to mean denial or restriction or being without. But more or less, it is simply helping us to cut away what is unnecessary so we can focus our consciousness on the things that are essential, that is devotional service. Because without austerity, without penance, without restriction, the mind cannot, focus on the goal of life. So here, Prabhupada says two things, a devotion, but it must be accompanied by austerity. So what is the austerity in this age? Of course, Prabhupada says the ultimate austerity is to engage in devotional service. But there are austerities that help us to practice devotional service successfully. Four regulative principles: no meat, no fish, no eggs, no onion, no garlic, right? No sex life outside of marriage, and only in marriage for procreation of children. No intoxication, including tea and coffee, anything that has caffeine or any kind of drugs that change the nature of the mind and body. And no gambling, no trying to get something for nothing, no mental speculation. These are austerities. Difficult in this age. Very difficult to perform these austerities. And for those who are more practiced in devotional service, getting up early, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, taking nice cold bath to refresh the body, and seeing the deity in the temple, performing the arti, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and using one's time and energy in engaging in practical service throughout the day for the pleasure of the Lord. That's austerity. But obviously what's happening, one is becoming purified. Without purification, there's no question of the spiritual life. One has to become purified. We cannot hang on to our material attachments and expect to make progress in devotional service. So one has to see how they're progressing in spiritual life. One has to take inventory. One has to see what are my attachments? What are my attachments? What is keeping me from making progress in my relationship with Krishna? Whatever those attachments may be. And by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and consciously trying to give up those attachments, one will find it becomes quite easy. Because we see wherever we are now, at least in this part in our spiritual life, we have given up, what we say, so many attachments. So why not go farther? What's making us stop where we are? It's not simply cultivation of knowledge that's going to make us advance. Cultivation of knowledge gives us the clarity and the understanding and the enthusiasm to continue the process. But ultimately, we have to develop real renunciation. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. That bhakti is vairagya. There's no difference. And that means the desire to enjoy the senses. One cannot enter into spiritual life and try to please their senses. One has to say no to the mind and senses. And one has to say yes to Krishna. So the senses have to become purified in the process of devotional service. Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhavedrayam Indriyam Seva Mukhihi Si Jivado Swayamevas Paraktada. So this word Namadi, the name, and what is it? Jivado. One must chant, or one must purify the senses by beginning with the purification of the tongue. One must eat only Krishna Prasadam and only at regulated times. One must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly with determination, with enthusiasm. That will give us purification of mind and heart, where we get a glimpse of the sweetness of devotional service. Then we become attached to Krishna. Spiritual life is not that one can find some platform of comfortability and stay there. One has to always be striving to make advancement. If one is not moving forward, one is moving backward. There's no question of staying in one place and finding a position of spiritual pride. Why are you moving backward if you're not moving forward? Because the material energy is so constituted or so arranged that it pushes you back into the material energy. It's just the way it is. The three modes of material nature are energies that are pushing us. They're inside, they're outside. And they're forcing us to move towards the material. So therefore, there has to be a striving, a struggle. There has to be a determined effort to continue to purify our consciousness at every moment. Spiritual life is not something you can practice part-time. Because part-time means, really, all you can get out of part-time's practice of spiritual life is some freedom from material suffering, to some degree. But if you want the goal of life, what is the goal of life? The goal of life is to know God and to love God. That's the goal. That's the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement. I remember when I first joined the movement, I was thinking, this is a really nice movement because it gives so many practical things on how to live a nice material life. You know, you take baths regularly, you develop good qualities, it's very good materially. It helps you to be healthy and organized. You know, you can get out of the lower mode of ignorance. It's a good way to be successful. It's a happy material life. But then I realized that's not the goal. That's not the goal. That's not the goal. And there are those who have much pious activities and have situated themselves in some position within the material world, but still they remain in the cycle of birth and death. Still they have to lose whatever they have accomplished. Still they have to again take births again and suffer and die. So that the goal is to reach devotional. Devotional service is rare. Pure devotional service is rare. It's not easily attained. How is it attained? What is the qualification for getting pure devotional service? Nectar Devotion explains that the qualification for getting pure devotional service is the desire to have it. One has to have strong desire, the eagerness. Rupa Goswami says one must have lauyam. Lauyam. What is lauyam? Lauyam means intense greed. Nobody wants to be greedy. We speak about greed as being a negativity of the conditioned soul. But one has to be greedy for the right thing. One has to be greedy for Krishna or for devotional service. Why? Because that's the constitutional position of all living beings, is ultimately to find satisfaction in life through our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say, or actually the scriptures say, there's only two types of people who are happy. The transcendentalists, those on the highest platform of transcendence, and the gross fool. The gross fool, he's thinking he's happy because he's intoxicated. And he takes so he doesn't even know that he's suffering so much. He gets happiness from suffering. And he considers that to be happiness. It's like a person, the lowest form of existence, the foolish ass. He's eating grass and he's thinking this grass is the greatest thing, right? A person is getting, he's working so hard, he gets a little sex life. He thinks, wow, this is so nice. And the transcendentalist who is tasting the sweetness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord at every minute. But in between, everyone else is struggling and striving and trying to find some kind of happiness. So if we're in between, we have to go up. We don't want to go down, of course, because the happiness of the gross fool is just an illusion. But that's what Bhagavatam says. The Bhagavatam says that only these two classes of people are happy. Only these two classes of people are happy. So a devotee, he's striving to reach the perfection of happiness. That is his relationship with the Lord in devotional service. But there is a type of satisfaction that comes in devotional service when one is striving for higher and higher attainments in devotional service. That is the perfection. One has to always be looking how to make progress in devotional service. Just like we chant our rounds every day. We can make so much advancement when we simply think, how can I increase the quality of my rounds? How can I increase, what can I do to hear my rounds better? To give more devotion into my rounds. If I can learn how to focus my mind even better. The simple process of every day we chant, why not put so much energy, or put more energy in just trying to get better quality? Why think in terms of numbers? I have 16 rounds. I have to chant those rounds. That's not chanting. That is just performing something in order to do it. We actually have to see that this chanting is the perfection of our consciousness. It brings our consciousness to the stage of satisfaction, peace, happiness, enthusiasm, power, energy, fearlessness. Prabhupada said, when I chant Hare Krishna, I feel fearless. Everyone's fearful. When I chant Hare Krishna, I feel powerful. Do we feel powerful, fearless when we chant? If you are, and you're chanting nicely. That's what we want to strive for. When we read the books, every day we're reading, we should read very carefully, trying to understand what is being said. That is quality reading, asking questions based on our reading, seeing the deity, paying our obeisances, paying the obeisances so perfectly, so nice, with devotion, with attention to the mantra. These are all qualitative considerations in our devotional service that attract the mind of Krishna, the attention of Krishna. So when we see how can I increase both qualitatively and if we can increase quantity, that's also nice. But mostly in quality, we want to somehow or other perfect whatever we're doing. Make it even more, a beautiful offering to Krishna. Just like Bhuvaneshwar, he knows, he's a cook, that when we offer the food on the altar to Krishna, what is the most important aspect of that offering, before the offering that is? And that is how it looks. You put it on the plate, you make it look so nice. You cook it nice with devotion, but then when you arrange it on the plate, just like if somebody gives you a plate of prasadam and they just merge it all together, do you get enthusiastic to eat? No. Somebody puts it in nice silver bowls, and they have it nice decorated, and the colors are nice arranged, and there's little tulsi leaves and some flowers around the plate, and there's, you know, and everything is just so colorful and all. Wow, immediately your hunger increases, right? So that quality of offering prasadam actually attracts the attention of Krishna just by how it's arranged on the plate. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say, how it looks is the most important thing. Because Krishna eats with his eye, he sees, oh, so nice, devotion. So this is devotion. These are just subtle principles. That whatever we do always is done in the mood of devotion. And this is austerity. This is penance. Because the mind, being situated in the mode of passion generally, is always eager to find some sense gratification at all, every moment. And therefore the mind is dragging the senses into trying to enjoy. But what is our enjoyment? Our enjoyment is service. Enjoyment is service. That's our enjoyment. Those who have service, they're lucky. The worst thing you could be is that Krishna says, well, today there's no service for you. Sorry, take the day off. No service. Come back tomorrow, maybe. That would be the worst thing you could possibly experience. No service. Oh, my God. What would I do? I simply try to sleep and enjoy my senses. Now, service is actually the greatest form of mercy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, and that's why we owe everything to Prabhupada, because he's giving us the process of devotional service. It's a gift. It's a gift. The spiritual master is given the greatest of all gifts, the opportunity to reach the perfection of life. Which means to be free from all suffering. To be free to reach perfect knowledge, to reach pure and unalloyed or unceasing happiness. This is what is being offered. And here, just how merciful Krishna is. If someone rejects Krishna or someone wants Krishna in material life too, Krishna somehow arranges for their material life to fall apart. Prabhupada said, if Krishna wants to show favor to you, Krishna wants to give you his mercy, he gives you everything. And if Krishna wants to show you special mercy, he takes everything away. Haribol. Are we ready for special mercy? Maybe not. We have our own, calculated program of how we're going to become Krishna conscious. And Krishna says, all right. But then again, if he sees that there's something in our life that's keeping us from moving forward, he'll take it away by his mercy, whatever it may be. And he gives us, actually, devotional service like that. But Krishna is so kind. And Prabhupada says, and if the devotee somehow regroups and again becomes, you know, materially situated, again the Lord gives him another dose of his mercy. So Krishna is called, what is he called? He's called Hari. Hari. Hari means one who takes everything away. Hari, Hari. It's a name for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Who takes everything away. But he never takes everything away. He gives himself, or he gives the process of pure devotional service. So this is real penance. Penance, sometimes people perform penances that are wrong kind of penances. Just like people in the material world, for some political reasons, they may fast. Or they do these marches, marching for heart victims or diabetes, right? They march around the city and right, have races, and sometimes, you know, they do some kind of austerity for something material. But all they get out of that is the effort that they put into it, that's all. There's not much benefit in it. But real penances and austerity is to engage in devotional service. So what is that verse? What's the first? Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishna Sangopanga Saparshadam Yagnai Sankirtanai Praya Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. Austerity and penance in this age is Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan. Chanting the holy names of the Lord. This is the... And actually, Lord Chaitanya has made it so nice that it's actually very pleasingly performed. It's joyfully performed. It's a sukham, kartam, avyayam. It's actually a process of joy. Imagine in the ages before, people had to perform tremendous forms of austerity in order to free themselves from material attachments. They had to go to sacred places and learn the Stanga yoga system, pranayama, pratyahara, asana, so many things. Just like there was an example. Nowadays, especially in America, many people perform this hatha yoga thing. Basically, people are doing it because it's some fashion, or it's a good way to increase your health, or it's a good way to have better sex life. So, one of our leading preachers, Indrajumna Maharaj, he came to America, and he had arranged for giving a talk at one yoga center. This was in Canada, I think it was. So, he walked in, and there's all these people there. They had come for a yoga session for the whole weekend. It was actually a 3-day program. So he came in and he noticed there were so many people. Actually, there was like 1,000 people there. So they had this one hall. So he could see, you know, all the people when they came to sit down for the class, they all sat in their yoga positions, you know, with their fingers curled and eyes up to the top of their head, all ready for this lecture, right? So Maharaj, being very aware of how to preach according to time, place, and circumstance, he said to Prahlad, Sri Prahlad, who was with him, I'm only going to speak for about 2 minutes. And that's all he did. He just spoke, simple introduction, and then he had kirtan. And they started the kirtan. And after some time, then all these, you know, yogis were dancing and shaking and smiling and, you know, and pretty soon they were just loosening up, and really it was just like they were getting into it. And then finally it was a kirtan. They were chanting and dancing and they were smiling and having a good time. And then one of the ladies at the end, after the whole thing was over, she said, "Wow, that's real yoga." "That's real yoga." She said, "I'm so happy." She really had an experience, you know. So, you know, this is yoga. And it's nice. Lord Chaitanya has made it easy. Harinam Sankirtan. And that is the yoga. That is the yoga for this age, to chant the holy names of the Lord. Prabhupada would go sometimes to these pandal programs, and he would be scheduled to speak along with other, mostly, and this would be in India, along with these other Mayavadis, Tapasis. Sometimes they would get up there and these people would speak, and he would give these long speeches. And Prabhupada sometimes would be sitting there and just becoming impatient, listening to some of them. And then at that time, a few times at the end when it was time for Prabhupada to speak, he would just have kirtan. And the place would just become electric. Everybody would forget all the other speeches. Just have kirtan. It's our life, kirtan. And that's the yogi at this age. So it's not easy to give up material attachments or material tendencies, because there is what is called our conditioned nature that we take within devotional service. We take a form of conditioning, and we seek devotional service sometimes through our own conditioning, most of the time. Therefore, it's very hard to practice spiritual life successfully unless you're really determined. But what gives you that enthusiasm is that we get a taste. We need to get that taste. What is that verse? Raso varjam raso pyasya param disvan nivartante visaya vinivartante nirharasya dehinam raso varjam raso pyasya param disvan nivartante. That one cannot give up material tastes unless they get a higher taste. We want the higher taste. It's like if you have a child playing with matches, if you try to take away from him, he'll cry. He likes playing with something. But if you just like hold out a toy or some candy and you say, "Here," and the child takes that and he drops the matches. So something better. So that higher taste is Harinam Sankirtan. And hearing them chanting the glories of the Lord. How do we get, we want to get a taste for that. We want to get the enthusiasm to want to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And how is that done? Sususra Saradana Sya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Shyanmayat Seva Vipra Purnya Tirtana Sevana. By serving great souls, great service is done. And by such service, one gets an affinity to hear the message of Vasudeva, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam explains that we should serve great souls, and by serving great souls, we get an attachment to hear the glories of the Lord. And when we get an attachment to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, then we know that our spiritual life is progressing nicely. Because this is what we want. We want that desire to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So that is the process of devotional service. And mostly chanting the holy names of the Lord. I was reading in the Chaitanya Bhagavat the other day. Lord Chaitanya, he was accepting invitations from the Brahmin class in Jagannath Puri. So then he told the Brahmins, "I'm not accepting any invitation unless one is a Lakshesvara." Lakshesvara means 100,000. So the Brahmins were saying, My dear Lord, oh, we don't have that many rupees. 100,000. But the Lord said, no, it is not coins, it is mantras. I will not accept anyone's invitation unless they chant 100,000 names of Krishna every day, or 64 rounds. And then the Brahmins became happy. They said, that, Lord, we can do. That we will do. Chant 64 rounds a day. Of course, this is not something that we recommend you do, because we have to balance our service and our sadhana nicely. But we should develop a taste to hear and chant more and more. Prabhupada says, when you're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you think, what is this 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? He said, then you're chanting. Then you're chanting. When you're actually eager to continue to chant, you don't want to stop. Oh, I have some service to do. I have to stop. I have to go to the temple. I have to stop. Chanting is our life, really. We should develop that taste for hearing and chanting. But we do have to do it in association of devotees. Serving the Vaishnavas and chanting the holy name are practically equal principles in spiritual life. By serving Vaishnavas, we get a taste to chant. And by chanting, we get a taste for service. So that each of them supports and enhances the other. So we need to do both. Just like I know people who have been chanting Hare Krishna mantras for 20 years. And still, they're not making any progress. Nothing, no, hardly any progress. 30 years. No progress. Why? Because they're not doing any service. Not doing any service. And those who are doing a lot of service but not really chanting that much, their service becomes difficult. Or they look to enjoy their service. They're trying to find some happiness or some fruitive results in their service. We're not looking for anything in service but service. And we're not looking for anything in chanting but to associate with Krishna through the sound of his name. And that association is like entering into another atmosphere. It's entering into the spiritual realm, that association. Mind becomes fixed, the senses become satisfied. One experiences the pleasure of Krishna. This is devotional service. But we have to perform penances. We have to say no to Maya. Maya is always... Yes, who's there? It's Maya. Oh. I'm sorry, I'm busy today. Come back tomorrow. Oh, okay. Hey, Maya, come back tomorrow. Remember me, Prabhu? I was here yesterday, you told me to come back. Well, I told you tomorrow. So tomorrow never comes. It's always today. So we have to keep pushing Maya aside. No, no. And how do we do that? How do we do that when we're living in the world and associating with materialistic people? Don't associate with materialistic people. To associate with devotees. When you're associating with people who are materialist, if you take their association, you lose your enthusiasm and your determination to practice Krishna consciousness. Automatically. Just by that association. So what is association? Association is not necessarily physical proximity. Association is affection. When we have affection for non-devotees, then that is called association. And then we enter into what is called a type of consciousness that is not conducive to Krishna consciousness. So we have to do our business, but we give them our association, we're not taking their association. Or, if it's just a matter of routine work, then we do our routine work, and we keep that on that level. But we don't So the first principle of spiritual fall down is materialistic association. From that leads to lack of enthusiasm and determination in Krishna consciousness, and then doubts come. And from doubts, then we start to start acting on a material platform, start acting like materialists. So we have to be very careful to associate with and to develop real relationships with Vaishnavas. And to give our association to non-devotees in the form of helping them come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have to be strong. It's a subtle platform. Maya Prabhupada says, just like you go into a hospital, and in the hospital, everyone's sick, generally. It's usually a place for sick people. So if you're not healthy or very strong in your health, just by being in that atmosphere, you're going to start feeling sick. Something's going to change. Just like you ever been near a person who has a cold, a cough on you or something, all of a sudden you start feeling, oh my God, I feel like I'm getting a cold. Germs. So this material world is a place of contamination. And when we're associating with the material energy, we're becoming contaminated. Subtle. It's really subtle. You don't even know how subtle it is. So one has to be strong. Therefore, we have to have nice sadhana every day. Very good sadhana. Sadhana is the basis for staying strong in our spiritual practice. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in association with other Vaishnavas. This is obligatory, not optional. And that's a penance. So Prabhupada, sort of sums it up that the real penance is devotional service. But then again, we have to know how to practice. Therefore, Rupa Goswami gives the formula for practicing devotional service. Utsahan nishchaya darya tatta karma pavartana. What is that next one? Saru atsan sad saru vritti. Six principles. Enthusiasm, determination, patience, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in association with devotees, avoiding the association of non-devotees, and following the process as given by the present and previous acharyas. These six things guarantee progress in devotional service. This is from the third verse in Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami. What are those things that destroy our devotional service? What is that verse? What is the first word? Atyahara prayasa prajapa niyamagraha. What is the next one? Saru. Janasanga and lauyam. Six things that destroy our devotional service. Too much eating. Too much collecting material things. Too much endeavoring for material things that are not necessary in our devotional service, extraneous. Talking nonsense or talking things unrelated to spiritual life. Following the rules and regulations simply for following without the desire for advancement. Or rejecting the rules and regulations and acting independently or whimsically. Well, I can just do what I want. Associating with materialistic people who are against the process of devotional service, and greed for mundane things. These six things, Rupa Goswami says, destroy or are contrary for practicing on properly devotional service. So we have to learn how to execute devotional service effectively. It's a science. It's a science. And that's why there's so many books. The books are here to teach the science. And the devotees here are to help explain how the science is being practiced in proper. And then the results are there. What are the results? that one gets transcendental knowledge, one loses their taste. One, if you want to know whether you're making advancement in spiritual life or not, you can test by two things. How much you're becoming attracted to Krishna, how much you're losing your taste for material sense gratification. If you're still attached to material sense gratification, or you're not moving away from that, then you can say, I'm not practicing effectively. And how much we're becoming attached to Krishna. Those are the two things. And then there's another thing. How much we're developing the qualities of a Vaishnava. Humility, tolerance, patience, pridelessness, cleanliness, truthfulness, study of the Vedas, simplicity, austerity, equanimity. All these qualities are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and also in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is our barometer to see how we're doing in spiritual life. We need to be determined, because otherwise you'll go on spiritual life for so many years, and if you don't make any progress, you'll start looking again towards material life for some satisfaction. Because everyone needs juice, rasa, taste, sweetness. If we don't get it from Krishna, we're going to look for it somewhere else. Rasa is life. Everyone wants happiness. And we want real happiness, not what is called so-called happiness. The mundane happiness of the materialistic world is simply some satisfaction of the senses for some few moments, that's all. That's all it is. So therefore, according to spiritual definition, it's not real happiness. It's just a little bit better than material suffering, that's all it is. It's another feature of the material energy that gives us the illusion that everything is okay. Everything Prabhupada was talking yesterday. People come, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Yes, you're going to die soon? Yes, I know, but still I'm fine. I'm fine, I'm okay. You're okay, I'm okay. Yatamata tatapata. We're all okay. People come together and they pat each other on the back and say, you're doing nice, I'm doing nice, we're all doing nice. We're all going to hell, but still we're doing nice. So this, we're not fooled by the propaganda of the illusionary energy. A devotee knows that behind the glitter of material life is simply nothing. It's all, material life is like a flashing sign. There's an example. You get on an airplane and you're going on a trip to Vrindavan. Okay, you get in the airplane in Chicago and you're heading to India, Vrindavan. So while you're going on the airplane, the pilot announces, oh, we're on our way to Vrindavan. And so, this is a wonderful flight. So please enjoy as much as you can. We have some nice movies. We have beautiful stewardesses and to make sure your travels are very comfortable. We have a full course meal of so many wonderful dinners. You can, at your choice, so many nice things. And we're at your service. But we have one problem. We don't have enough gas to make it there. So just before we get there, we're going to crash. But don't feel bad. Still, we have nice service for as long as it lasts. So just enjoy the movie, relax, have a nice meal, enjoy the nice people around you while it lasts. So that's material life. It's going to crash sooner or later. So can you do that? You can't. No, no. And every non-intelligent person says, oh my God, I got to get off this flight. So this is, we're not in the illusion that everything's okay by material. A devotee wants, it's better to suffer, so-called suffer in Krishna conscious, than to so-called enjoy in the material world. The devotee doesn't suffer, but sometimes he appears that he's struggling or suffering. There's some difficulty. But that just may be a temporary feature of one's, you know, struggling, and then there's some purification like that, and the mind and senses are not satisfied. But that'll go away. It'll go away. If we stay in Krishna consciousness, ultimately, Prabhupada said, even if you fail, get up, pick yourself up, try again, and keep going. Don't ever give up on the process. And you'll be tested. You'll be tested. Everyone gets a test accordingly. Krishna tests you just to see how sincere you are. Actually, he sends Maya to test us just to see, what do we want? Do we want Krishna, or do we want whatever Maya is offering? So, ultimately, we want Krishna, because when you're Krishna conscious, everything is perfect. Even if you're in the most miserable material situation, if you're Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What was that verse? Narayana Pura Sarvena Kushtasad Labidyati. When Mother Parvati, she cursed Chitraketu. Chitraketu had attained a state of liberation. He had pleased Narada Muni, Parvat Muni. He became detached from all his material possessions. He was the king of the world. He got all away from that. He actually attained the stage of bhakti. And he was traveling around. And he came across this very secluded area. And in that area, Lord Shiva was sitting amongst an assembly of sages. And they were having a discussion. But Parvati was sitting on the lap of Shiva. She was sitting there. So Chitraketu, he saw that. How is it? Shiva is sitting amongst all these sages and his wife is sitting on his lap? This is not right. So he laughed. And Shiva wasn't at all offended, but Parvati was. So she became upset, and she took issue with Chitraketu. He didn't say anything. He accepted her. She chastised him. And then at the end, she said, you should go to hell. She cursed him to go to hell. He just folded his hands, paid his obeisance. He said, Mataji, thank you very much. I'm on my way to hell. And the Shiva, when Shiva saw that, he quoted this verse, Narayana para sarvena kushchitana bidyati. What is that? Swarpa apavargasya tulartya darshanam? Api tulartya darshanam. That the devotees of the Lord, or Narayan, for them, hell is wherever they are, they're happy. Hell can be Vaikuntha, because they're fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. And one can be in the nicest material situation, but if they forget Krishna, if they're not somehow connected with Krishna, that's another form of hell. That's another one. That is what Krishna consciousness is. It awakens within us that purity of heart, that all we want is Krishna. And that is perfection. Okay, I'll stop here. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Vaishnava Sevananda. Hey, devotee should be happy, but he's in Maya. If you're not happy, you're in Maya. Papa said that. Krishna conscious in me is the platform of happiness. If you're not experiencing happiness, you're in Maya. So what is happiness? There's a type of, we define happiness in different ways. One should feel satisfied. I'm satisfied. A materialist is never satisfied. No matter what they have or what they're doing, still there's always some dissatisfaction, because material life doesn't satisfy. Therefore, a devotee is happy because he's engaged in devotional service. He's thinking of Krishna, he's trying to serve Krishna. He's doing something in devotional service. So he's satisfied. He's happy. Happiness is not based on what is the feature of our mind and senses. It's based on what is in our heart. Sometimes the mind and senses become agitated. But if we identify with that, then that becomes the reality. We don't listen to our mind. We don't listen to our senses. Oh, feed me, do this, go here, I need this. We say no. We say yes to Krishna and no to Maya. So when we practice that, then we can be happy. And every time, if we just keep satisfying our senses, every time our senses and mind want something, then we're never happy. We're under control of the mind and senses. You have to be under control of the Daivi Shakti, the spiritual energy, under its control of Krishna. Therefore, a devotee uses his intelligence to stay engaged in Krishna consciousness. Okay, anything else? Yes, Subhakrit Prabhu. Well, in the scriptures, there are 64 regulative principles. Some are vidhis and some are nishedhas. Vidhi means things to do, nishedhas means things to avoid. So we should know those, practice those things to do, and avoid those things that we should do. That is penance. Therefore, Prabhupada said three things: chant Hare Krishna, avoid the offenses, follow the regulative principles. Not four regulative principles, 64. The 64 regulative principles, not just the four. Of course, some of them don't only apply in India, but majority of them apply wherever you are. So we have to know what is those 64 regulative principles. Some things are we should avoid and some things we should do. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, Vishnu smartya najatujit. What is that? Vidhi nisheda evashur, something like that. Etayor evakinkaraha. And that to always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna, all the other regulative principles become subservient to these two principles. So what is the principles, what are the regulative principles meant? To help us always remember Krishna. And to never forget Krishna. So we practice the regulative principles in order to come to that platform. And then that's the purpose of the regulative principles. If we don't practice them, we can never come to the platform of always remembering Krishna. If we're practicing some of them but forgetting some of the other ones, then we will never come to that point. Therefore, we should know. Everything is mentioned in these books. Then we have to ask questions. We have to get clarification of the answers. We have to apply the answers in our life. And we have to make progress. Chanting is the fundamental principle of our spiritual advancement. Everything, in other words, whatever else you're doing, it's not going to really have much effect unless you're chanting. And if you're chanting, then that gives you the intelligence and the enthusiasm to practice devotional service. It pushes you through the difficult times. It purifies your heart. It connects you with Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada said, 95, 99, all of your advancement in spiritual life depends on your chanting. Because it's the foundation for everything else. Therefore, those who have developed a taste for chanting, they're fixed. Even if they're experiencing difficulties or struggling, still they're fixed because they're fixed in their chanting. That's important. We have to be fixed in our chanting. It's not optional. Maya is so strong. So therefore, if we're not at least chanting 16 good rounds, what is this statement right here? It's titled 16 good rounds, right? Did you read that? This is Prabhupada's statement. And if you're not chanting 16 good rounds every day, you're pretty much you're susceptible to Maya. We don't want to be fair weather devotees and just somehow or other get along and at the end of life, you know, well, I made it this far, Krishna. I'll just come back next life. No, we want to make it all the way. Even if we miss, we should try our best to make it. That's the point. You're in the best position to go back home, back to Godhead. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to finish up this material life. If Krishna wants us to come back and preach, that's something else. But still, we should try to purify our heart and reach the perfectional stage. So the chanting is important. It's most important. It remains the focus of everything else. And of course, we have to associate with Vaishnavas because our chanting won't really evolve unless we're associating and serving Vaishnavas. It won't really get past a certain stage. Therefore, in one stage of our chanting, we take initiation. And then that initiation puts us in association with devotees and practicing the process more effectively. And then through that, association, service, chanting, everything comes. Kali Yuga is hard. It's a bad age. Manda sum, you said it yourself. Manda sumanda matayo manya bhagya padita. It's just like so many bad qualities. Prabhupada said, three deficiency. Maya's everywhere. Maya's also inside. And Krishna's ahoksaja. So material energy is outside, material energy is inside, and Krishna is beyond the reach of our senses. How do you go? So there has to be some effort. We have to struggle. We have to try hard. You know, if you're drowning, you're going to try with all your might to save yourself somehow. You may even learn how to swim right then while you're even drowning. So we're drowning in this material world. Therefore, we have to see. I'm going to try hard. I'm going to get out of this place. What's the benefit of simply satisfying our senses for so many years and at the end of life just dying? And then what's the value? What do you gain? What gain is there? There's no gain. And again, we take birth. A new chapter. Prabhupada's a new chapter. We have to see what this material world is. It's a punishment. This is a jail. It's a prison. It's a place of suffering. That's all this place is. It's called Durga. Dur means four and G mean go, and Ga means go. It's a difficult place to get out of. Durga means four. It's a place of punishment. What is Durga? She's riding on a lion. She has a trident. And what are those tridents? The threefold miseries. Adiatmic, Adibaltic, and Adidiving. She's piercing the living entity constantly. Just so he wakes up and makes some effort to get out of this place. And this place is up. Prison. It's not a nice place. If you become a devotee, then of course, then you see things different. But as long as we remain somewhat attached to this material energy, we're going to have to suffer. And Krishna is inviting us, please come back to the spiritual world. Come and dance with me, play with me, enjoy nice pastimes with me. Therefore, we have to develop attraction for that realm. What is that? Samasitam ye padavam pavam pavam yat padam punyam asau murari bhavam buddhir fatsa padam 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 ya padam nadesham. The devotees of the Lord, they have nothing, they don't want this material world, which is padam padam ya padam navi padam. It's danger at every step. We want to go back to the spiritual world and enjoy with Krishna. We have no business in this material world. It's not our home. Christ said, this world is a bridge. He said, cross over it, build no house upon it. This place is a crossing place back to the spiritual world. That's all. It's a means to get out. That's all. So this has to be some effort. And the harder you try, the easier it gets. And the less you try, the harder it gets. If you're looking for, Prabhupada said, come to spiritual life, you're looking for easy life, forget it. Easy life is back home, back to Godhead. Krishna consciousness is enjoyable only when we start purifying our hearts. When we get to a certain level of purification of the heart, then we actually can taste the happiness of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, what are the 9 stages? Adaustrada, Sarusanga, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhava, Prema. So, on the Anartha Nivritti stage, getting rid of the unwanted desires, after we get rid of at least most of our unwanted desires, then comes Nishta, steadiness. We become steady. And then from steadiness, what happens is Ruchi. And then when you're on the platform of Ruchi, then you can taste, oh, this is so nice. Ruchi means taste. It's sweet, constant. Relishing Krishna consciousness at every moment. Then one becomes attached to Krishna. But these anartha nivrittis, they're there. They're strong. They're like big anchors. They're just keeping us in this material world. You know, the desire for fame, the desire for prestige, the desire for sense gratification, the desire to be honored, to be worshipped. So, you know, all kinds of desires. Some kind of desire is keeping us connected to here. And if we like it, then we have to somehow or other, you know, get the opportunity to fulfill that desire. And Krishna will show you what it's like. And if you want it, you can have it, but you can't have Krishna. But Krishna is even more merciful that for one who is struggling to want, and he wants Krishna, but he wants Maya, Krishna says, all right, you want me? I'll help you. I'll make your material life disappear. He's a magician. He's like a magician. He can, right? He can make things disappear. Someone has Prabhupada. Yeah. About mystic power. Prabhupada says, my mystic power is I can make birth, death, disease, and old age go away. So that. Someone asked you, Prabhupada, yeah, but I'm a magician. Prabhupada said, I'm a magician. I can make these things disappear. Birth, death, disease, and old age. Who can match that? That's the greatest magician. Everyone, you know, no one can get out of this cycle. Maya rules this place. She's strong. She's powerful. She's the supreme authority. Therefore, we have to seriously take shelter of Krishna. Serious business. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.